Could you please turn to Matthew chapter 28? I'd like to read to you the first 15 verses, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 15. That's page 743, or on your phone, Matthew 28. Just turn off the rest of it. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Well, we each have April Fool's stories of embarrassment, don't we? Imagine this one, a friend giving an investment tip that seemed just too good to be true and even had an online article from a very trusted journal to back it up. Imagine being one keystroke away from investing your life savings, and then hearing, "April Fools!" The finger might change, but you might be a little bit upset about that. You imagine your sister changing the time zone on your phone. That didn't happen to me. But they changed it to New York. Well, at least you'd be earlier, right? But April Fools! What makes a great April Fool's joke? Obviously, as with most jokes, timing is everything. But beyond timing, it's the relationship. It's the relationship. I don't care how funny or well-planned or well-executed the prank is, if you don't implicitly trust the joker, you're not going to bite. You're going to nod. I know, I saw that coming from a mile away. See, the person who's pulled that chair out from you, maybe even just once, has emptied their credibility account so they could pull all the April Fool's jokes on you that they want, but it won't even touch you. But if you trust someone, they will get you every time. Is there anybody who is got every time? See, if you trust them, you won't even be mad that they keep pulling the April Fool's jokes, because you trust them, you love them, and it's all good. It's all good. See, these same relationships of intimacy and confidence, they may be the very thing that opens the door for you to help someone see that Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection are not some cosmic April Fool's joke. The relationship that you have, those relationships of trust, may be the door that opens where you can help someone understand that it's not a joke. And then see, the hard part, that today for some is the embodiment of their rejection of Jesus Christ. The calendar gives them the opportunity to just mock Jesus and his resurrection. It's all over the internet. I don't know if you saw it already this morning. I'm really still dead, April Fools, but have a chocolate bunny. No, thanks. No, I don't want that. See, every one of us at some time has felt foolish sharing our faith, feeling that we just didn't have that right comeback, that right answer for someone who was unwilling to believe in the risen Jesus Christ. So we shy away. We shy away. Shy away even from some people who may be interested in learning about Jesus. See, some of you have trusting relationships with people, and they're not mocking today. They're actually interested. They're interested and they're waiting to learn about Jesus. They're interested in our Savior, and they don't care if you have all the answers. They're interested in Jesus because of you. Because of you. See, your family, your marriage, the way you walk through life, the way you endure hardship, because of the way you genuinely care about them. They're interested in him. See, that someone you know needs to hear about Jesus from you, because they're not in church this morning, are they? Well, maybe they even are in church, but they may not be here to hear from me. It may have been the music, and they've been blessed by that. See, they may be in church this morning because that's what they do on Easter. You go to church. And it's wonderful that they're here. They may even come at Christmas, too. But they're not interested in hearing about the glory of the resurrection from the professional. They want to hear from you because they know you, they trust you, and they know even your humor has their best interest in mind. So they want to hear it from their friend, from their colleague, from their neighbor, from the mother or father of their child's best friend or teammate. See, someone who trusts you needs to hear about Jesus' death and resurrection from you. And it's time for us to go and tell. It's time. See, you read from Matthew 28, and the tomb couldn't hold him. I mean, this is the guy who walked on water. He could multiply bread and fish to feed thousands. And did they really think that he would be able to be held in a tomb? He raised Lazarus from the dead. He rebuked sickness. He cast out demons. Could the tomb really hold him? I love it. The angel just sat on the rock. Lightning. Those poor guards. See, and then the angel meets the women that are there, and he gives them three commands. Don't be afraid. Come and see. Go and tell. Three very simple commands. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus. Of course they'd be afraid. I mean, this is what angels say, by the way, through most of their appearances in the scripture. When they show up, they say, don't be afraid, because they're angels. And they're, I imagine, a little frightening, the bright lights and everything else. And the angel knew why they were there. Did you see that? I know that you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning looking for the one who was crucified. He's not an Easter bunny with eggs and gifts to make you happy and comfortable. Jesus is the crucified one, the one who sacrificed his life not to make us happy, but to meet our deepest needs, our need, the greatest need, the need to be forgiven and reconciled to God, and to be forgiven and brought back into a relationship with him this morning. Now, do you have a friend looking for him this morning? They may not know him by name. They may not even know he was crucified. But do you have a friend who's looking for the way to be forgiven? The way to know God? Do you have a friend like that? God knows. The angel knew the women were looking, what the women were looking for, and there was absolutely nothing for them to fear. And it may be your relationship. It may be your relationship with your friend that opens the door for them to know the living God. Maybe it's not your friend. Maybe it's you. And actually, maybe you are afraid this morning. Maybe you don't know if he's willing to forgive you. Maybe you've crossed a line. But I want to assure you this morning that his arms are open wide. They're not wide on the cross like this anymore. They are wide open, ready to welcome you. You have nothing to fear. See, the angel gives his second command, come and see. He wanted to convince them that Jesus was indeed alive. He's no longer in the tomb. I love how he says, he is not here as he said. As he said. Jesus, when he went into the tomb, he knew he'd be coming out. When he died on the cross, he knew that was not going to be the end. And so he said, I'm going to see you again. And I love, he has risen just as he said. Jesus was alive and he is alive. But it's not enough to say, Christos Hariavimelos. It's not enough to say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Each one of us need to experience that. We need to experience that he is alive. It wasn't enough for the angel to tell them and them even to believe it. He showed them. They had to experience it for themselves. Have you experienced the empty tomb? Have you experienced it for yourself? Or are you going on someone else's testimony? Maybe it's your mother, your sister, a grandparent, a family member. A Bodvili? Our faith really does need to be ours. And if we're going to be that person who needs to hear, if we're going to be that person for our friend who needs to hear from us, it can't be just words. I imagine several of us, several of you like me, have been embarrassed at different times. When someone assumed because we were going to church that we actually had a relationship with Jesus, don't raise your hands. Maybe it's you who needs to come and see, to let the Holy Spirit take you by the hand and take you into the tomb and convince you that Jesus is indeed alive. Finally, the angel says, go and tell. Go and tell. First, let him calm your fears. Then let the living God convince you that Jesus is indeed alive, and then you'll have something to say. I love this. The angel tells the women, and it's an interesting strategy here. He tells the women to go and tell. Did you know that the testimony of women in first century Israel was not accepted in the court, that women had no legal standing. How interesting of God. The first people he tells are the women. They were the ones entrusted with the greatest message, the most important message ever communicated on planet Earth. It's the people who are least esteemed that God chose to make the greatest impact. What does that say about you? What does that say about you? You're convinced that you don't know enough, you can't come up with the right arguments, you don't know enough of the Bible. Could it be that you are just the person God has in mind to share with someone else the glory of Jesus' resurrection? I mean, could your perceived inadequacy and insecurity perfectly and uniquely qualify you to be the one to show someone else that Jesus is alive? Could you be the one to share the love of Christ with that person who trusts you? The angel said, go and tell. And I believe those three simple words are for us today. And that's why throughout the month of April, as we go on this month, we're going to be learning from the book of Jonah how to and how not to tell people about the love of Christ, even our enemies, about the love of God. So be sure you come back next week and when we get started on that. But it wasn't just an angelic command. Jesus also commands them. He says, don't be afraid. When he surprises them, first words out of his mouth are, don't be afraid. Oh, sorry, he said greetings first. Hi, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, it's amazing. They went to prepare his tomb. They went to prepare his body for a permanent burial. And he says, hi, don't be afraid. See, he surprised them. He didn't have to say, come and see, because they were holding on to him. But then he said, go and tell. And I think he's telling us the exact same thing. See, go and tell my brothers that they will see me. And again, I want to come back. There are people here this morning that I need to ask you, do you want to see Jesus? Are you willing to take a look? It says, go tell my brothers. And if not physically, through the eyes of faith in his word, will you look to see? See, I wonder who needs to hear from you? Because there is another story being told. Did you catch that? See, there's another story. In fact, there's several other stories being told. The first one was that the disciples stole the body. See, it's sort of like, meanwhile, back at the temple, there's another story that was going out. See, whether you or I tell somebody about the truth of Jesus, just know for certain there is a whole nother story going on. He's not really the Son of God. The disciples stole his body. He didn't really die. This is the message of Islam. He didn't really die. They got him off the cross and then resuscitated him, and that's why he was able to appear to his disciples. See, there are stories, there are false stories. Maybe the resurrection was just a hallucination seen by hundreds of people all at the same time. Not quite sure how that would work. Little bit of a stretch. But see, these false stories, these stories that compete with the gospel, that lie to the very people God is calling. See, we have to go to the people that trust us. We have to go to them, because they are being deceived left and right. See, they're going to get a false message from somebody else. So who needs to hear from you? Who needs to hear from you? And maybe it's not today, but don't wait too long. Because we know that the longer we wait, our confidence shrinks. I mean, I Some of us can't believe that God would use us, but he can. He can use any of us. The story came through the women, the most unlikely witnesses, and it came to the disciples, and if you thought those guys were hot stuff, you haven't read your Bible. What were they doing? When the women found them, what were they doing? They were hiding. Through whom does God love to speak? Look at the person next to you. Maybe even them. And if they gave you that look, look at them and say, well, maybe even you too. He can and he will. Who is it that trusts you and needs to hear from you? Who can you fool year after year after year after year because they trust you? How about instead of fooling them, how about instead of setting them up to laugh at them, you actually tell them the truth to set them up for eternal life? How's that sound? Is that good news? I think it's for us. It's for you. He promises to be with you. The Gospel of Matthew ends by him saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Christ is alive. He is with you. So who needs to hear that from you? Amen.